broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from the heart of the nation's capital. This is Morning Glory.
On Wednesday, May 3rd, in this third week of Easter, we celebrate Saints Philip and James, and we give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father. Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
It's the best way to start your day, Morning Glory on EWTN Radio on this Wednesday. Brian Patrick here along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
And Elisa Murphy, our producer, along with our godly counsel, Father Bjorn Lundberg. Father, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Yes. Lord, in this Easter season, we celebrate Saints Philip and James, and we ask you to stir up in our hearts an awareness that we are called to be apostolic, that we're called by you to know you, to follow you, and to surrender to you today, and to go out and bring the good news to others. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Gloria, how about a thought from Mother Angelica?
It is of prime importance that I see God in everything and hear his voice as he calls me to repentance, humility, love, patience, and kindness.
When Mother says prime importance, we better listen.
Mm-hmm.
In the news on this Wednesday morning, a former South Carolina police officer pleads guilty Tuesday to federal charges in connection with a 2015 fatal shooting. A cell phone video shows Michael Slager shooting Walter Scott in the back. Scott's mother reacts to the guilty plea.
I love my son. I miss him. I miss him dearly. And I thank God for justice.
Slager could get up to life in prison and a $250,000 fine, but as part of the plea deal, prosecutors apparently agreed to ask for a shorter prison term.
Well, we'll see what that federal judge says when he gets ready to sentence him. But I also thought it was interesting that Slager acknowledged that he knew the use of deadly force was unnecessary and excessive and therefore unreasonable under the circumstances.
Part of his plea deal to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. Two plainclothes Chicago police officers are expected to survive after being shot Tuesday in an ambush-style attack. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson promises to catch those responsible.
If they will fire at police officers like that, then they have no thought process in terms of firing at other citizens of this great city. So we are going to get them.
The officers were investigating an earlier incident when at least one car, possibly two, pulled up alongside and opened fire. Johnson says the officers were able to return fire. Flooding in Missouri closes another major interstate. Greg Horn, district engineer with the State Transportation Department, says I-55 south of St. Louis is expected to be flooded for days, stranding a lot of people.
You all are going to have to decide what side of the river you want to be on.
There are now five confirmed deaths from the flooding as Missouri braces for more rain today. Pope Francis speaks of his recent trip to Egypt at this morning's general audience. The Holy Father says, quote, our covenant with God, grounded in the commandment of love of God and neighbor, inspires our efforts to build a just and peaceful civil order in which we all have a part to play. That visit will have a lasting impact on uniting world religious leaders against terrorism. The National Catholic Register's Ed Penton traveled with Pope Francis to Cairo.
His visit just brought them together. I saw that very clearly at the Mass on the Saturday, where Muslims were there as well, and they were just very happy that the Pope was there. And there was this united front against ISIS, who was seen as the common enemy out there. So I think that was a great success of the visit.
And President Trump makes a phone call to Russian President Vladimir Putin. It's their first conversation since Putin denounced the U.S. military strike on Syria. The president ordered that strike after Syria's military reportedly used chemical weapons to attack civilians. International security expert Trevor Thrall thinks the U.S. strike on Syria could actually help the U.S.-Russia relations in the long run.
Trump may have at least put a little marker out to the Russians saying, we're going to lean on you guys to do some more diplomacy to try to move things along towards peace more quickly, or else, you know, who knows what we might do next.
Pope Francis is urging world leaders to seek solutions through diplomacy first, saying the size and scale of a wider war could be devastating to the entire human race. There is a lot more money for the military and border control and less for other government-subsidized programs in the Republican spending bill now before Congress. House Speaker Paul Ryan says they did it by ending the so-called parity rule for defense and non-defense spending.
If you wanted a pay raise for the soldiers, if you wanted to buy new airplanes and new ships and more munitions, a dollar for that, you had to have a dollar domestic spending. We just broke that parity. That's the biggest victory we could have had.
The director of the Office of Management and Budget, Mick Mulvaney, defends the administration's decision not to defund Planned Parenthood as part of the president's budget proposal.
This bill includes all of the traditional protections for the pro-life movement, including the Hyde Amendment. And what we simply decided was, look, if you want to take a vote on the Hill to stake out your position on Planned Parenthood, do it on the health care bill.
The pro-life group Susan B. Anthony List calls the bill's funding of Planned Parenthood incredibly disappointing.
That's a nice way of saying it.
As Republican House leaders scramble for enough votes to replace Obamacare and defund Planned Parenthood in that health bill that Mulvaney just talked about, there is new opposition from some moderates. Michigan's Fred Upton opposes the bill, saying it would undermine coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. But other Republicans, like North Carolina's Robert Pittenger, says it's time to back it.
I think people recognize we need to get this done. Such a strong conservative bill and a strong pro-life bill, too.
House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy says Republicans are getting very close to getting the needed votes to get that overhaul, or the repeal, I should say, of Obamacare passed. Vice President Mike Pence honors Israel's independence on the White House grounds Tuesday. He brought up a controversial proposal to move the U.S. Embassy.
The President of the United States, as we speak, is giving serious consideration to moving the American Embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
That announcement coming just the day before Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas makes his first visit to the Trump White House. He is expected there today. Pro-life lawmakers urge the White House to enforce the Weldon Amendment. It protects the conscience rights of health care providers who refuse to provide abortion on religious or moral grounds. Maryland Republican Andy Harris spoke with EWTN News Nightly last night about this.
Everyone's conscience has to be protected, including the ability of any health care provider not to have to provide abortion, insurance companies not to have to cover abortions. We think it covers pregnancy centers not to have to refer for abortions.
And a leading self-proclaimed Catholic Democrat claims abortion is fading as an issue. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says walking in lockstep on social issues like abortion is hurting Democrats.
That's why Donald Trump is president of the United States. Evangelicals and the Catholics. Anti-marriage equality, anti-choice.
Pelosi tells the Washington Post this is the Democratic Party. This is not a rubber stamp party. I think she was slapping the table there, Gloria.
Yes. Well, what's also interesting is she says that the majority of her family is not pro-choice. So I wonder if she slams the table and says, you're anti-choice. You're anti-marriage equality.
On a more positive note, relics of St. Padre Pio will soon tour the United States. They will be venerated between masses at cathedrals across America beginning May 6th. This tour commemorates the 130th anniversary of Padre Pio's birth and the 15th anniversary of his canonization. Padre Pio carried the wounds of Christ crucified, the stigmata. He dedicated much of his priesthood to hearing confessions with his gift of reading souls. Father, you hear confessions. That would be awesome to be. Well, maybe not.
To read souls?
I don't know. No.
I think, that would be kind of. Well, it would be a useful tool to help people. I don't want it. Somebody once said on Facebook, I used to wish I could read people's minds, and then I got Facebook, and now I don't.
Yes.
Only if it would help people. I met a priest once who could read souls, and everybody freaked out. But I mean, it was just kind of like, the whole goal is to help people receive the mercy of the Lord. If you're holding back, the Lord wants to help, and Padre Pio helped people.
Well, and people came from all over the world to make their confessions to him. So even though they were probably scared of
him
reading their soul,
I'm going to go track down those relics and just be like sitting there prostrate in front of him, like, help me out, Pio.
That is absolutely right. It is kind of like somebody being able to read your soul probably can see more about your soul than you yourself even know.
Well, and I think it's also the point is the gift is given, the charism's given to help people make a good confession and receive the sacrament. So if we don't know what we're doing, we want a mentor, a trainer, or whatever. So Padre Pio was like a trainer.
When I see pictures of Padre Pio and his hands wrapped in bandages, bloodied, you think about the stigmata, as it's such an honor to suffer the stigmata, but it is suffering. I mean, we're talking wounds that never heal.
And he would say things like, if he needed to, he would be in purgatory till the end of time to save his spiritual children. I'm like, wow.
That's what St. Teresa of Avila told her sisters. She was like, if we spend all of time in purgatory to save one soul from hell, that I'll tell you how bad hell is.
Well, that willingness got him to heaven. He is a saint.
And he's coming to us. I love it. He's coming. He's going the grand tour. Padre Palooza.
Padre Palooza.
In sports, just ahead of your midweek forecast, the Boston Celtics and Golden State Warriors win last night's NBA playoff games. Isaiah Thomas torched the Washington Wizards for 53 points as the Celtics earn a 129-119 overtime win. Avery Bradley knocked down three to put Boston up 102-99 on Washington.
Isaiah jump pass to the left side, fielded by Avery, three in the air, no good, rebound, Marcus Smart, big play, kick to the corner, Avery open three, got it!
The Celtics take a 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference semifinal, and Stephen Curry dropped in 22 points, and Draymond Green added 18, leading the Warriors past Utah 106-94 in the opener of the Western Conference semifinal series. 11 after the hour, here's Elisa with your midweek forecast.
Morning glory weather.
A sunny day across the southwest and a mild one for the Midwest as we head into your Wednesday. In Michigan, mostly sunny in Grand Rapids, temps nearing the low 60s for those tuned to Holy Family Radio this morning. And in Melbourne, Florida, a sunny day, temps in the mid-80s for those joining us on Divine Mercy Radio. And here in our nation's capital, perfect sun in the mid-60s if you're joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
It's a beautiful morning at Guadalupe Studios. We thank the Guadalupe Radio Network for hosting Morning Glory.
You know, it was interesting on this whole Pelosi story about candidates, Democratic candidates should not be forced to toe the party line. I did find out that Tom Perez is Catholic.
Of course.
Number one. And then it was interesting that Perez responded with a statement saying support for abortion rights is non-negotiable for Democrats. Now, where have we heard that term non-negotiable? Usually when we're talking about, you know, the issues of our faith that are non-negotiable, like abortion, this is a non-negotiable people, but yet... Perez is saying there's no wiggle room. You have to sign on for that in the party. And then Pelosi's trying to pivot by saying, look, our values are all about working families. So again, they're trying to pivot people away from what they're championing. And to me, I'm like, the silver lining in this is that it's very clear. I hear scripture. You know, I set before you life and death. Choose life. And this is what
Perez,
the party's doing.
Perez chairs the National Democratic Committee. Pelosi is the minority leader. Mm-hmm. And these are the two leading Democrats right now. That shows you where the Democratic Party is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an interesting parallel, too. There's this case in Belgium of the Brothers of Charity who run 15 psychiatric hospitals. They have 5,000 patients. But their hospitals are run by a board that is dominant lay people.
Yeah.
So the brothers don't have majority control. And they are fighting back because the hospital association voted to allow... euthanasia. Mm-hmm. And one of the head of the order says, you know, this is absolutely horrible. He says, secularization is poisoning the congregation in Belgium. And he says, this cannot be at all justified. It's a real tragedy. And it's totally against our network, our charism of charity. And so you see this pressure on Catholics everywhere to sell out and to say, you know, oh, well, we just have to give in. No, I mean, we have a friend of mine points that the tension is this idea of identity versus relevance. If you want to be relevant in the world, obviously you want to help people where they're at. But the question is, at what expense to your identity? Do you know who you are? And so if Catholics are saying, oh, I can be pro-choice. No, our identity is to save lives. It's not to take life.
So, well, Father, so many Catholic hospitals that were founded by religious orders here in the U.S. are now also controlled by secular boards. Do you see that trend moving into the U.S. where, you know, these boards are adopting things that are contrary to church teaching?
Yes, you see this, or you see the temptation to do it, and you see, like, the great work of the NCBC, the National Catholic Bioethics Center, and other groups who are helping form lay people. You know, Bishop Barron makes the point that Vatican II wasn't primarily about the mission of lay people within the church. It was about the mission of re-Christifying the world, evangelizing the world. And so it's not just professional Catholics, priests, sisters, whoever, who are supposed to be doing this alone, but well-formed laity going out and articulating the truth. You know, part of our mission at JP at the high school is to help people understand natural law through bioethics. So you're right. These hospitals in the U.S., you know, we see this from time to time. It pops up. There was the case in Arizona about the hospital where an abortion, I think, happened. So, yeah, that need is there to help people articulate the truth in the public square.
So Father Bjorn is the chaplain of St. John Paul the Great Catholic High School in Dumfries, Virginia, and you're going to talk with a pro-life entertainer next.
I'm excited. Singer and songwriter Joyce Bartholomew is going to be performing for the SBA Gala tonight, and she's with us next on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Looking for a solid and dependable Catholic radio station in your area? One that's uplifting and authoritative? A trustworthy tool for the new evangelization? God may be calling you to a mission in Catholic radio. Find out how you can start a Catholic radio station where you live, powered by the truth of the church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming.
Contact me, Jack Williams, at 205-795-5756 or jwilliams@ewtn.com.
Debbie Giorgiani.
I'm a cradle Catholic, went to Catholic school, and I never really wandered from the faith. In fact, after having a taste of working in corporate America, I was literally pulled toward a more meaningful work. I began serving in ministry when I was just 21 years old, and I've never looked back since. I was not fulfilled working in a job where I couldn't talk about Jesus. I am most complete when the topic of conversation is God.
Take two with Jerry and Debbie, Monday through Saturday, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The National Catholic Register is America's most complete Catholic news source, with a comprehensive view of the world from a distinctly Catholic perspective. For the latest issues, people, and events shaping the world as we know it, visit ncregister.com.
Hi, this is Dan Burke from the National Catholic Register.
Hello, this is Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
If you do that or send us an email or a text, we'll perhaps share that with our audience here in just a little minute. In a few minutes, on Catholic Chatter with our producer, Elisa Murphy. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick on Morning Glory with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
And our godly counsel is the chaplain of St. John Paul the Great Catholic High School, Father Bjorn Lundberg.
Joyce Bartholomew is a national spokesperson for the organization Preborn, and she's a singer and songwriter. Joyce, welcome to Morning Glory.
Thank you for having me.
We're excited to have you. I know tonight the SBA Susan B. Anthony List is having Vice President Mike Pence at their gala, and we're honored that you can take time on a crazy day where you're going to be performing there. Tell us a little bit about the work of Preborn and a special song you'll be performing tonight.
Well, the Preborn, I've been a national spokesperson with them. I've volunteered doing that for 6 years, and we're raising sponsorships for free ultrasounds across the country, helping the pregnancy centers that ask for us to help them, to ask the public for help.
Okay.
They're asking us to be sort of the liaison, trying to get free ultrasounds for them.
Do you help bring in equipment, or do you help fund existing programs?
We help bring in. Actually, they do ask for ultrasound machines, and there are a wait list for that.
Okay.
But mostly for the free ultrasound itself.
Okay, great.
It would be like the $28, which is the lowest price that we can ask people to sponsor for a free ultrasound for a girl that walks into the pregnancy care center. And we offer them a free ultrasound so they don't have to pay for that, so that they can hear the heartbeat or see the baby as they come into the pregnancy care clinic.
Okay.
Joyce, that they have a baby.
Joyce, I know you'll be singing tonight, and I'm always curious how artists come to know that they have a gift. How did you first learn that you could actually sing?
Well, I've been performing since I was 8. And I think that my mom just put me in drama because I was so shy.
Mm.
And she just wanted me to just like, she said, oh, she's so shy, just get her up there. And I was like, no, I'm so scared because I was so shy. And so they just, you know, have you audition and sing as they always do. And then they were like, oh, she can kind of sing.
She can
kind of
sing.
Like that. But when you're little, you know, it's a development, right? So it's not like you have to train forever and ever and ever and ever like that. It's not like it just happens. Yeah, so it can be very frustrating.
I would say. Good.
And since your work is a ministry as well, you have a special song that you have to perform this evening. Can you tell us a little about the name of the song and the meaning behind it?
Sure. The name is What Was Your Name? It was actually my pro-life song that I wrote for Preborn many, many years ago, and I just felt this calling that I'm going to write a pro-life song. It's actually my very first song I produced and wrote, and I just felt a complete calling to do it, never having done anything like it before. And I just was, I would think about abortion and the plight, literally, of these babies, the unborn, 24/7 before the song came out. Mm. It was like God gave me the song. I would cry about it. And then the song came out, and it took a little while to write it and produce it and everything, but that's where the song came from. It's just, he just put in my heart.
Joyce, there are so many lyrics in music today that are really offensive and horrible, and I hear even young children listening to these songs. And music has such an influence. How does this pro-life message in your music have the power to transform society, do you think?
You know, I'm impressed that power of God through the song. I just think, I always say, it's inspired by him. It's God anointing the song, because it's not like it's the greatest song ever written on the planet Earth, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit behind the music. That is real. It is, you are right about songs being so powerfully moving, and that is why, because there's something spiritual something spiritual behind music, whether good or bad, and that's where the power is. That's why. And so when people hear the music, they're just moved, something supernaturally, they're moved emotionally, spiritually, and that's what I attribute to. There's something inspired there. It's not me, it's really God doing it.
Well, I would say, you know, when you wrote the song and it's written for the preborn, and it's What Was Your Name? I will tell you that quite a few people that are outside abortion clinics actually try to figure out how many children lose their lives in there, and they name them and have a prayer service for them. I know they did that outside the Silver Spring, Maryland Planned Parenthood, which is now closed, thanks be to God, by the Liz Bauer constantly being out there with other people and vigil and praying. But it was one of the most painful things to say, okay, we saw six people go around in the back, so we figure six children are going to lose their names. Let's go ahead and name them now. And it just to really connect us with the child in the womb. And I think your song, What Was Your Name, is going to be something that touches quite a few people tonight at the gala.
Oh, thank you. I mean, that's basically what, because I was a counselor years ago for a pregnancy care center myself, I know that I didn't do post-abortion counseling, should be trained to do that, but I know that a lot of them had to go through that, and that was part of their process, was naming the child that they had lost. Mm-hmm. And if it was, they didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, they gave it a name that could go either way.
Right.
And it was very painful, but it was also very healing.
Joyce, in your work for 6 years with Preborn and in your music ministry and helping SBA List, you know, you have a lot of experience now in the pro-life movement from a different angle. When you meet people who feel like they're called or God has put on their heart to do something with the pro-life movement, what is your advice for them? How do you mentor them?
You know, I say, like, if God is putting that in your heart, I say, do it. You know, because it's not easy. Because we have a lot of spiritual opposition, and I say, if this is what God has called you to do, then go ahead and do it. Because that's what I did. I just felt called to do it, because I have, one of my spiritual gifts would be encouragement, which led me to the counseling.
Okay.
And so I just said, if this is where God, you feel led to do it, then go do it and serve in that way. And even if there's opposition by your friends or family, just go do it. And I always encourage them to do it.
Well, you're in good company with our EWTN's founder's mother, Angelica. She used to say, just step out in faith. She said, faith was like 1 foot on the ground, 1 foot in the air, and a funny feeling in your stomach.
That's right. That's for sure. That's how I feel half the time.
Well, we're blessed to have you on the show this morning, Joyce. For those who want to learn more about the ministry of Preborn and your music, we have your website here, joycelmbartholomew.com. We can tweet that out. And we thank you for your important work and for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Father, for having me, and for all of you for having me.
Give the Vice President a shout-out for Morning Glory when you're there tonight.
Share some love.
All right, today on Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, Dr. Greg Popcheck talks about the dangerous new Netflix series, 13 Reasons. We talked about that a little bit earlier on Morning Glory. Also today, Father talks about what TV show describes our spiritual life right after we do some Catholic chatter with Elisa Murphy now at 24 after the hour.
We were blessed to hear from Maria, who was part of a group that came in last Thursday, I believe, 15 young high school kids from St. John Paul the Great High School, where Father Bjorn is chaplain. And Father, I believe you led the students in a segment I can only call smack talk with Father Bjorn, which was very entertaining. And we also did hear from Tony regarding St. Padre Pio. And she's wondering, Father, do you know of any current priests who can read souls? And if you do, where can she find them?
Yeah, right. I can tell you.
You're right.
No, I don't. I met a priest once who had that gift, or at least he was reported to, and he has since passed away. But no, I don't. But yeah, that smack talk show segment was all these high school kids in our radio. We have a radio class at John Paul. We have a radio station that we launched last year. And so the kids love coming with their teacher, Ashley Ackerman, Miss Ackerman, to do field trips here at the radio station. But they come in and you put them on the equipment. They're very polite and they're very, you know, very like trying to sound like Walter Cronkite or something. And, you know, radio, as we know here with Morning Glory, is driven by personality. So you want their personality to come out and you know they have it. So you kind of threw out a few questions to kind of get them squabbling a bit.
And it did.
Good for them.
Well, Father, let's talk about the TV show that describes our spiritual life.
Yes, I was thinking curious. Some popular shows out there. You're thinking something like Chopped, which is a cooking show, and Shark Tank, which is about trying to, you know, market new products. And this kind of shows this ruthless competition in our culture. Or you have hoarders, you know, people who collect a lot of stuff. And that can be the way we, you know, we're attached. Jesus is teaching simplicity. What does that mean? Well, you know, is my heart full of stuff? Or house hunters, you know, people who are these different house shows on real estate shows on different networks of people who seem to have discretionary income of about $2 million to buy a house.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, they're looking for the perfect home. And I think all these things and lots of popular things in our culture reflect this desire, this thumbprint of God, this calling card of God that he's put on our heart. We want to be better. We want to achieve. We know on some level we're meant for more. And we don't know what that means. So then it's like, well, you know, I've got to win at all costs. I've got to destroy my competition in the kitchen or on the marketplace. Or if I get some more stuff, that's going to really make me happy. One more thing that I can put in a storage unit when I don't use it. Or, you know, I need a bigger kitchen because the old kitchen and marble countertops weren't working for me. So the idea is just that really, on a certain sense, when we look at what we're interested in and what intrigues us, is that showing us a little bit about what our Lord is telling us. I remember that one priest I was mentioning who could read people in confession, read their souls. He said once on a retreat, you know, when you get up in the middle of the night and you're really hungry, you're really looking for God. And I thought, wow, I thought I was just hungry.
Bacon.
Just this idea that, you know, I guess, you know, we live in a very busy world and we have a lot of things on our plate, physically and otherwise. And so God is trying to speak to us and he's trying to get our attention. And even in culture, I think, as maybe if you can call it culture, that God is trying to show us something. So I just thought maybe today we could look at how the TV shows you watch that intrigue you might also have an insight or a key to unlock some of our spiritual growth as well.
What if you don't watch TV like me?
Then you are really ahead of the game. You have moved to the next plane.
Right. Speaking of move, there's a United Catholic Movement with the goal of increasing mass attendance by 25% before the new liturgical year. Our pastor, my pastor, Father John Sterling, joins us next to talk about it on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Podcasting is an easy way to automatically receive your favorite EWTN programs on your mobile device, and it's all at your fingertips. Visit EWTN.com/podcast and enjoy your favorite EWTN shows on your mobile phone right now.
Colin Donovan.
Entering university, I had the religious understanding of someone catechized in the 1960s. That changed when a fellow freshman asked me if a Catholic could use the pill. My uninformed answer was, sure, why not? I then went and read Pope Paul VI's encyclical Humanae Vitae and concluded, this is truth. I've never looked back in my love of our Catholic faith since.
Open Line with Colin Donovan, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. 60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The first commandment, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me. In this commandment, God seeks to protect us from false claimants to our worship and obedience. And there's a great sad history of people who have trusted in gods other than him or things other than him and the ruin that it has caused. So God is trying to protect us and call us to an absolute trust and obedience of him. He asked us to trust him above all things and above all other people or so-called gods. We have to also avoid things like consulting horoscopes, palm reading, clairvoyance, recourse to mediums, any desire to try to control things apart from God. God simply says, trust me, I'm the Lord your God. I am the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no strange gods before me.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is Jeanette DeMello, host of Register Radio.
This is Doug Keck, EWTN President and Chief Operating Officer. Happy Easter from all of us at the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
Half past the hour at Guadalupe Studios, and it's good to have you with us for Morning Glory on this Wednesday, the 3rd of May. In the third week of Easter, we're celebrating the Apostles Saints Philip and James. Good morning, I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy is our producer. Our godly counsel, Father Bjorn Lundberg, leads us off in the half hour with prayer.
Lord, increase our faith. Help us to realize that faith in you means surrender to the good news that you are guiding our day. You've planned it out. You're there every step of the way with us. You're going to show us what to do next. Help us to have confidence and surrender in peace to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Father Bjorn, as we turn to Gloria for a preview of her Morning Glory musings.
You know, blasphemy has become just so commonplace today. Probably so commonplace we don't even recognize it. So we'll try to unfold that a little bit during my musing.
Coming up in about 10 minutes on Morning Glory, as Pope Francis speaks of his recent trip to Egypt at his general audience this morning, he says, our covenant with God, grounded in the commandment of love of God and neighbor, inspires our efforts to build a just and peaceful civil order in which all have a part to play. That visit will have a lasting impact in uniting world religious leaders against terrorism. The National Catholic Register's Ed Penton traveled with Pope Francis to Cairo.
His visit just brought them together. I saw that very clearly at the Mass on the Saturday, where Muslims were there as well, and they were just very happy that the Pope was there. And there was this united front against ISIS, who was seen as the common enemy out there. So I think that was a great success of the visit.
Ed Penton in Rome, and here in the United States, the United Catholic Movement tries to draw inactive Catholics back to Mass with a goal of increasing Mass attendance by 25%. During the remainder of this liturgical year. We're joined by Father John Sterling, who is pastor of St. Barbara Parish in Erlanger, Kentucky, in the Diocese of Covington in Northern Kentucky, to talk more about it. Father John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Great. It's good to have you on the show. We, of course, have been involved with the United Catholic Movement, along with several other priests in the diocese. Bishop Roger Foyes launched this not long after the beginning of this liturgical year. Give us an idea of what the goal is and how it should be accomplished.
The goal is to bring people back to church who have not been coming to church. And it's very simple. It's asking each person to invite one person to come back and share Mass with them.
It sounds almost too simple. How do you think it's going to work out, and what proof do you have so far that there are results already?
We have seen results already. We started at St. Barbara's Parish by having people write down the names of people that they wanted us to pray for who are no longer coming to church. We put those names in a basket in front of the altar, and we pray every week, actually every day, for those people to return to Mass. And I have already seen in the confessional families who've come back who haven't been there for a few years or who have been going elsewhere, who have just been returning because people have invited them to share Mass with them.
I'm glad you mentioned the confessional, because when you think about it, really returning to an active participation in the Catholic faith, that is the first step. I noticed that in the literature for the United Catholic Movement, there's actually a little format page on how to go to confession. Do you think a lot of people are intimidated because they don't remember how to do that?
I think that is the case, and you would be surprised how people walk in with that format in their hand and sit down and just go right through that, because we, as older Catholics, we remember the booth when you were sitting there in fear in the dark. But still, people have this fear of walking in and not knowing how to begin and what they are to say. So that format, that handout being in there, has been very helpful.
Even if you don't know the exact format, isn't really confession a conversation between the person confessing their sins and the priest in the person of Christ?
Yes, very much. And all the priests in the United Catholic Movement and my associate and I here have let everyone know that you don't need to worry. Just walk in and we'll guide you through every step of the way.
Father, this is Father Bjorn, and I'm at a high school. And we have a guide in the confessional, and when we have regular confessions, we put the guide in the chapel, and kids use that all the time. And a lot of times when the students will come in, I'll say, you know, on this side of the screen, I can help you. Do you want me to walk you through it? And a lot of times they will take that up. Our bishop, our new bishop, Bishop Burbidge, was recently visiting one of our campus ministries at the University of Mary Washington in Fredericksburg. And while he was there, he asked the kids in a kind of Q&A what their questions were. And one kid said, what do you think is the biggest pressing kind of pastoral problem for the church in Arlington? And it was interesting because it's like exactly what you said. He said, you know, about 25% of people attend Mass. And he said that, you know, obviously isn't, quote, acceptable. But I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth. His concern was how to increase that. So how long have you been kind of working this program to help bring people back? I think it's fascinating.
The bishop brought 7 priests together back in October and asked us to come up with a movement of evangelization that would bring them back. So we've been working on it since October. But actually, Divine Mercy Sunday is the day that we wanted to present it to everyone and say this is when we're starting.
So, Father Sterling, what role does the Sacrament of Reconciliation play in helping these people, once they come back, to be able to then approach the Eucharistic table? How do you work in, you know, hey, Sacrament of Reconciliation is here for a reason? I mean, how do you work that in with the people that come back?
It's very simple. As a matter of fact, we're going to have 1 week where we're going to have someone at Mass come up and just come up at homily time, and I'm going to say, this is how simple reconciliation is. And say, you know, if you've not been coming to communion for any particular reason, this is how simple it is. Now, there are going to be some other, you know, circumstances as far as annulments and things like that that we'll have to work with. But we're making it clear that Pope Francis said, you know, we do all this with mercy, compassion, and love. And there's no way that anyone should not feel free to come back to church and to come back to communion.
I think it's reconciliation first.
It's brilliant that you have that prayer list or that prayer basket or whatever there at the altar, just putting those names and showing people the connection between we're going to put these names down and pray and God's going to move, and then to see those results.
And it is working. Everything starts with prayer for sure.
Father, do you see this going national, perhaps even global?
We do see it going global. Dennis Pellman, who is the facilitator with us with the movement, he says that we're going to be on Fox News and we're going to be on 60 Minutes and all these shows within a year, and it's going to go global and then go international after a while. I do see that the Holy Spirit is definitely at work at this time in the church in a way that I've never seen before.
Well, Fox News will be anticlimactic after Morning Glory.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, exactly. What? You're already international when you come on Morning Glory.
All right, Father.
Exactly. We're already. Thank you. There we go.
Father John Sterling, we'll see you on Sunday. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you all so much, and you all have a wonderful day.
Is there a website for the United Catholic Movement yet?
There is, and I should have the address, but I don't have it on the tip of my tongue. I am sorry, but there is
that's
a website already.
We'll get it.
And we're already starting a database with all the people who are registering.
And you surely can Google it. All right, Father John Sterling with the United Catholic Movement, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
All right, elsewhere in the news, a lot more money for military and border control, less for other government-subsidized programs in the Republican spending bill now before Congress. Speaker Paul Ryan says they did it ending the parity rule for defense and non-defense spending.
If you wanted a pay raise for the soldiers, if you wanted to buy new airplanes and new ships and more munitions, a dollar for that, you had to have a dollar domestic spending. We just broke that parity. That's the biggest victory we could have had.
The director of the Office of Management and Budget, Mick Mulvaney, defends the administration's decision not to try to defund Planned Parenthood in that budget proposal.
This bill includes all of the traditional protections for the pro-life movement, including the Hyde Amendment. And what we simply decided was, look, if you want to take a vote on the Hill to stake out your position on Planned Parenthood, do it on the health care bill.
And in sports, just ahead of your forecast, Marwin Gonzalez hits a go-ahead grand slam in the eighth inning, leading Houston past Texas 8-7 in Major League Baseball. Albert Pujols capping his three-hit night with a tie-breaking double in the 11th inning before the Angels hung on for a 6-4 win at Seattle. Detroit beat Cleveland 5-2. The Yankees easily win for the 15th time in 20 games, 11-5 over Toronto. The White Sox shut out Kansas City 6-0. The Twins crush Oakland 9-1. And the Cubs romp over Philadelphia 8-3. Here's Elisa now with your Wednesday forecast.
Morning glory weather.
Another hot day across the Lone Star State. Passing thunderstorms in Houston for those tuned to Guadalupe Radio Network this morning, reaching a high of 80. A cloudy, wet day with a high of 63 in Moorhead, Minnesota, for those joining us on Real Presence Radio. And for our EWTN radio family on Queen of Heaven and Earth Radio in Fairbanks, Alaska, expect a mild day hitting 53 with clouds overhead.
All right, the power of beginning again with Father Bjorn Lundberg right after Morning Glory and Musings.
So just in case you're unaware of what blasphemy actually is, it's speaking about or to God in a scornful or irreverent way. It also involves speech or actions showing contempt or hatred for the church or persons or things specially dedicated to God. And I think it's rather commonplace. I don't think you can watch a primetime TV show without them taking the name of the Lord in vain. And I remember many, many years ago, my husband and I were so tired of it when we used to watch TV more regularly. We were just on the spot every time they would say the Lord's name in vain. We would just make reparation right there by saying, praise be his holy name. Let me just tell you, around our family, it was no fun to watch TV because we were always saying, praise be his holy name, praise be his holy name, praise be his holy name. But just to let you know how, even in the divine praises, we say, blessed be God, blessed be his holy name. And then later on, we say, blessed be the name Mary, virgin and mother. Mm-hmm. So imagine my surprise when a friend of mine forwarded me this email, and the subject line was, Hail Mary. And then it went on to say, J. Blige. And guess who it was from? It was from Cecile Richards of Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And this was her email, basically making fun, in my opinion, of that angelic greeting to the Blessed Mother to tout this fundraiser that they were having by this entertainer named Mary J. Blige. And I was like, the nerve to send this email out, taking our Blessed Mother's greeting and making a joke out of it. And we have to recognize these things, and we can do reparation. Granted, I have to admit, the things that she does gets on my nerves, okay? The things that Cecile Richards does gets on my nerves, but she is also a child of God, and he wants to see her in heaven. And so the most loving thing I can do is try to make a repair for this terrible act of blasphemy that she has done. And so I came across something called the Golden Arrow Prayer. And supposedly this was a prayer that Jesus himself revealed to a Carmelite nun in France in 1843 as a reparation for blasphemy. So I'm going to say this Golden Arrow Prayer right now on behalf of all acts of blasphemy against the Lord, against his Blessed Mother, against all things dedicated to the Lord. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and under the earth by all the creatures of God and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Supposedly, Jesus said to this Carmelite nun, this golden arrow will wound my heart delightfully and heal the wounds inflicted by blasphemy. I'll go on and tweet that prayer later on in case you all want to say it from time to time to give the Lord some delight in his heart.
Yeah, beautiful prayer to make a new beginning, Father.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Would they say that failure isn't failing, it's staying down when we fail. So what is the secret? How do we persevere? How do we get up again? Well, in this month of Our Lady, there's two parts. There's devotion to the Blessed Mother and then the power of confession. St. Philip Neri said, my children, if you desire perseverance, be devout to our Blessed Lady. Our Blessed Mother is our mom, and she helps us. Yesterday, I was really happy and excited with my family to celebrate my mom's 70th birthday.
Ooh,
and
so happy birthday,
the Lundbergs got together, and my one niece, Anna, was like a little bit upset because Oma didn't give her a present, but we gave presents to Oma. But, you know, your mom is always the one saying, you know, eat your vegetables, brush your teeth, shake people's hands, be polite, go to school, do your homework. Your moms take care of you. And our mother, our Blessed Mother, wants us to persevere. She knows we get discouraged, we get beat down, we fail, we screw up, we get off the path, and she's always there to help us out. So being devout to Our Lady and having a friendship with her is the secret weapon to persevere, because the secret of perseverance is beginning again. We're hearing earlier about Father bringing people back to church with the United Catholic Movement and the power of the sacrament of confession. people don't go to confession. They're afraid. They don't know how to go. They're afraid of what's going to happen in the confessional. But when you get past all those fears, it's the freedom, the liberation of Jesus setting you free from sin, unbinding you, healing you. So let's ask in this month of Our Lady that we can grow closer to her, discover the liberating power of confession, and know that we are always beginning again every day.
And that website, by the way, to find out more about the United Catholic Movement, stbarbaraky.org, stbarbaraky.org. It's about quarter till now on Morning Glory. And Gloria, what's up next?
We're going to be talking with Dan Spencer about Every Parent's Battle, A Family's Guide to Resisting Pornography on Morning Glory.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Jimmy Akin.
One of the things that we often think about in our spiritual lives is how to do something big for God, how to do something grand and glorious for Him. But really, most of the time, we should focus on how we can do something small for God. It's these small things that help us consecrate our ordinary daily activities and help us do everything for Jesus Christ.
Catholic Answers, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Check out EWTN's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
This is Janet Benkovic, host of Women of Grace.
Hello, this is Cardinal Donald Wuerl of the Archdiocese of Washington.
This is Gloria Purvis, host of Morning Glory. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
We value your opinion. Email morningglory@EWTN.com.
What does Charlie Brown Christmas say about Easter? Tom Ford guests on Cresta in the Afternoon for your ride home today on EWTN Radio. Thanks for joining us here for Morning Glory. With Elisa Murphy, our producer, and our godly counsel, Father Bjorn Lundberg, I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Dan Spencer III is the author of Every Parent's Battle, A Family's Guide to Resisting Pornography. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
So I was, previewing a little bit of your book, and one thing in particular just sort of smacked me in the face. It says the average age when children are first exposed to hardcore pornography is 8 years old. Oh, my goodness. I just, Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
I mean, what can we do? I mean, is there anything that we can do to limit our kids' exposure, to protect them? It just seems like so much.
It is. First of all, thank you for having me on. I'm really pleased to share this topic with you and your listeners this morning. There is an enormous amount that we can do. In fact, the whole reason that I wrote, or one of the reasons I wrote this book, was because for 10 years I've been talking to adults about the horrors of pornography, and primarily for recovery. And I thought to myself, you know, Henry David Thoreau said something like that for every 1,000 people that are hacking at the branches of a problem, only one is striking at the root. And I'm trying to be one of those one that, that, you know, parents need to get in this game early, and the earlier the better, in a preventive mode rather than waiting for the recovery. So the ideas that are expressed in here are really those to help parents to get ahead of this game and to start creating kind of that Catholic family culture that's so helpful in preventing their children encountering this evil.
How did our society get here? I mean, how did we slip so far that we're at the place where the average age of a child being exposed to this stuff is 8? What happened?
Well, it's actually been a long time coming, but it's picked up almost all of its speed
with the invention and the acceleration of technology. Mm. 8-year-old children weren't picking up illicit literature, attending peep shows back in the early 20th century. So families were relatively insulated. But with the explosion of personal technologies that came about in the last several decades, the opportunity, just the chance of running across this kind of material has skyrocketed. So, and it's just amazing. I mean, what didn't get in the book is probably, it's probably darker, but more amazing is that so many children at a very early age are having access not only to computers, I mean, they're raised in, the, in an environment of technology, but also smartphones. I was amazed at how many 3- and 4- and 5-year-olds regularly interact with smartphones. And as you may or may not know, smartphones are becoming kind of the highway of pornography, even more than computers.
Yeah, I think I remember with the big Tiger Woods scandal, that was one of the things they talked about is how he had pornography on his smartphone. I think Father Bjorn has a question for you.
Yeah, Dan, I was thinking in my work with kids or just in work in parish life, you know, St. Paul says where sin abounds, grace abounds the more. And, you know, we realize more and more this scourge, how many people are being wounded by pornography. But one of the benefits I think that this is forcing to happen or is helping with families is this kind of communication of emphasizing the importance of parents communicating with their kids, the role of parents and how powerful their role is in helping form virtue in their kids. Can you talk a little bit to that in your book?
I do, and thank you, Father, for that observation, because the reality is that for too long, parents have waited until some mythical age where all of a sudden it was permissible to talk about sexuality or the challenges to our sexual over-sexualized culture in pornography. So they would wait for a school to put on a health class or something like that. And then, of course, by 7th and 8th grade, our kids, many children are deeply exposed to pornography and already behind the eight ball. So some of the strategies in this book includes 6 key strategies that I've identified, and about half of them deal with the parents themselves. The idea that it's very hard to share with your child if you're compromised yourself. Some of the things are, first is the couple have to really take a hard look at their own lives, and if they're compromised, deal with that early on, actually before marriage if possible. In fact, I start in one of my age-based recommendations is before you even have a child, are you and your wife or you and your spouse on the same page about these issues? Because our families of origin are wildly different in terms of how we speak about these things, the tolerance towards these things, and unless both parents are engaged on the same page, that's going to be a problem. So first of all, it's very important that parents have a perspective and a shared perspective on how they're going to raise their children in this area. And then, of course, this ongoing dialogue that needs to be created at a very early age. I know I'm older, so when I grew up, there were all kinds of euphemisms, for instance, used for the body. And so we never actually called body parts by their names. And so, you know, it was like we were ashamed of our bodies. And of course, with John Paul II's wonderful writings and others, we've come to see that the body is a very beautiful gift from God and helps with our identity. So there really needs to be strategies along the way for how to speak to our children in age-appropriate ways about sexuality and true love and virtue and these things that you mentioned, Father, so that by the time that they're faced with this, they've been immersed in a Catholic mentality and a Catholic culture at the home where they think for themselves at that point where it becomes time to do that.
Well, Dan, I know you have one section calling Embrace Parental Leadership, and I have a 6-year-old, and I'm trying my hardest, but I'm realizing that I can't raise every child out there. So she's probably going to encounter some children that have been exposed. What role does my parental leadership, if you will, play in helping, you know, her to be able to navigate something like that?
Well, as I said, I think if you talk with your daughter along the way about issues that pertain to this realm, not just pornography, but the positive aspects of love and healthy touch and body images and all those things that particularly young girls fall prey to. One of the fastest groups of individuals coming to pornography is actually young women. Mm-hmm. And one of those reasons is because they're doing so in response to young men who are already compromised. And so they think they need to be some sort of some version of attracted to attract the attention of those young men. So I think training young women in feeling good about themselves and holy and healthy family environments by parents like you is a real important beginning. Secondly, you know, we've all tried and kind of build the moat around our families, and we do that with technology and with teachings and mentoring and all those sorts of things. But the reality is our children are going to encounter this.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to be Pollyannish thinking, well, only my child's going to escape any encountering of this issue. And that simply is not the case.
Well,
so
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, this is, as you're saying this, I'm like, okay, let me hurry up and get this book. I know we can find it on osv.com. And I appreciate that you also in the book have prayers for divine protection and assistance. Everybody, go out there and get Dan Spencer's book, Every Parent's Battle, A Family's Guide to Resisting Pornography. It can be found at osv.com. Thank you so much for calling in the Morning Glory.
Thank you, Dan. It's 5 till now, and Elisa has Catholic Chatter ahead of Father taking us through today's gospel.
Brian, we've heard from a fellow parishioner of yours this morning. Megan wrote in saying she was happy to hear Father Sterling's voice on the airwaves about the United Catholic Movement. We also did hear from Father Edward Looney, who very much loved your musing this morning, Gloria. And he says every first Saturday is meant to repair blasphemy to Mary's name.
Oh, thank you, Father.
I appreciate that. And Father, there's a beautiful quote from Jesus in today's gospel, my favorite. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus reveals the mission, right? His mission is to save us, redeem us, and save us, get us to heaven, and reconcile us to the Father. And the Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Let's trust today that the Lord will show us the face of the Father so that we can be reconciled to him today.
I ask the Lord to show me the way every morning, and I remind myself that he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Father Bjorn, thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you next week.
Okay. See you next week.
Gloria, we're back in the morning.
Back in the morning is not turnaround day. Today is not Thursday. Today is Wednesday. So tomorrow we have Father Petrie as our turnaround theme.
And who else is guesting tomorrow, Elisa?
We've got a friend of yours, Lila Rose of Live Action, will be with us.
We look forward to having you back with us and ask you now to join us as we pray, giving glory to God. Glory be to the Father.
And to the Son. And to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.
Have a great day. Talk to you in the morning.
Catholic from the start. Because every new morning is a gift.